John Honey.
Mr. Honey, let's see now, who's going to, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will conduct your hearing, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Honey, just give me one moment, because we have some paperwork to fill out here.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. All right, sir, could you please state your name and your ADC number for the record?
Yes, ma'am, it's 233-770, John Honey.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Honey, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the three allegations that are listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing. I see that you signed your form on October 26th, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and on that form were your hearing rights, and one of those rights is that you could hire a lawyer at your expense to represent you. I don't see a lawyer with you today, and I don't think there's one in the room. Are you representing yourself today?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
All right, thank you. I'd like to introduce to you the members of the board who are conducting this hearing. You can see us on the panel, on the video, and on the opposite end for me is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Right in the center is our board chair, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, and my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel chair for your hearing today. Also with us in the room is Mr. Sanders, who is a community corrections officer, a representative. He's representing the Department of Corrections and your parole officer today for this hearing. You can see Mr. Sanders right there. Okay, before we get started, I need to swear both you and Mr. Sanders in. So Mr. Heine and Mr. Sanders, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help me God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, ma'am.
I do.
Thank you. So, Mr. Heine, your hearing is conducted in two phases. In phase one, we determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision. And then in phase two, we determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, I'm going to read information from your warrant. I'm going to read each of these allegations, and I need you to tell me if it's true or false. Mr. Heine, are you having a hard time hearing us? Should we?
Can I take a moment to shut the door?
Absolutely. If you're, and I'll check with your CO3 and make sure it's okay.
Yeah, she can tell me it's okay.
Okay. And I notice he's doing this. Okay, good. Hopefully that would be better. Because we couldn't hear the background noise, but boy, I bet you could, coming in there.
Yes, I could.
All right. So I was just telling you, I'm going to read each of these three allegations, and then I need you to tell me if they're true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, we'll take testimony from Mr. Sanders, and then we can talk about it some more. And then the board will determine if you violated your conditions. So you understand that process?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, good. So here's phase one of your hearing. We'll start with that. And here are these three allegations. The first one is that you violated the conditions of supervision and had lapsed, or probably about to lapse, into criminal ways or company by violating condition number 7, demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about April 18th, 2017, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated May 12th. 2017. Mr. Hagg, is that true or false?
That is true.
That's true, okay. Then here's allegation number 2, that you violated condition number 7 as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about May 2nd, 2017, per the task GCMS lab report dated May 15th, 2017. Mr. Hagg, is that true or false?
Yes, ma'am, it's true.
It's true, okay. And then allegation number 3, is a violation of condition number 2 as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for face-to-face contact visit on or about May 8, 2017 as verbally or written directed on May 2, 2017. You were actively avoiding supervision and thus you were absconded from supervision. Ms. Rainey, is that true or false?
Yes, ma'am, that is true.
It's true. Okay, thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Heine's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed in the criminal waste company.
Second.
Agree.
Hold on one second, Mr. Heine, while I mark some paperwork here.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. There's always paperwork. Everything you do, always paperwork. Okay. All right. So now we can move into phase two of your hearing. And to start that, what we will do is we'll take some background information from Mr. Sanders. And if you could just hang on the line here, we'll be right back with you, Mr. Sanders.
This hearing was released on February 21st of 2017 with an arrest date of October 12th, 2017 by ADC staff with no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on October 12th of 2017 with an adjusted CICD of December 24th, 2017, reflecting 157 days of Wisconsin time. His current conviction in 2016 is a theft receiving 1.5 years. Prior convictions in 2008 and armed robbery receiving 4 years. It's his second term in DOC. CUIR score is a 2-2, mental health score of a 3, substance abuse score of a 1. No STG affiliation noted. Prior terms of supervision in 2011 was a TIS completion of 6 months. Disciplinary violations are minimal. And he has a G2 V4 score.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders. So back to you, Mr. Heine. It looks like you were released. I'm just reviewing some of your case supervision here. You were released to live with your sister at 37028 West Buckeye Road in Tonopah. But then you advised the next day that your sister wasn't at that address anymore, and you wanted to live with your girlfriend. So you were approved to live there at 112 South 363rd Avenue in Tonopah. And did you stay at that address the whole time you were on supervision?
No, ma'am. I moved back to 37028. I remodeled my sister's house, and I moved in there myself.
Oh, okay. So your sister wasn't there, but the house was still somebody. Who owns the house?
My dad owns the house.
Okay, so your dad owns. Okay, so you remodeled. All right. And
yes.
About when did you move back there? To the best of your ability to recall.
Probably in the middle between April and May.
Okay, so April, May time frame.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And did you live by yourself?
Momentarily, yes. Now I'm finding my girlfriend. Back into that chair, yes.
Oh, so your girlfriend moved in there. Okay, I got it. Got it. Okay, so were you working while you were at supervision? What were you doing?
Yep. I was taking care of my dad's farm.
Oh, okay, so farming. All right.
Yes,
so there are lots of farms in Tonopah. Okay.
Yes, ma'am, there is.
All right, and it looks like you weren't initially mandated to attend programming, but in May 2nd, you were given a list of halfway houses, and you were supposed to choose one by the 8th, but you did not do that. You didn't enter a halfway house, and I can guess what the answer is, but why didn't you?
Because I was in the middle of trying to move over to get things straightened up over the other place where I had a decent place to live.
Okay, so you were moving back into the 37028 West Buckeye Road house?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. And then it also looks like in March, these notes aren't exactly chronological, so please bear with me. It looks like in March you failed to submit a urine specimen, because we normally have people submit urine specimens. In April, you were verbally directed to, and you failed again to submit. In April again, it says, so April 13th and April 18th. And then on May 2nd, you tested positive for both meth and marijuana via a swab test. So what was going on then? What happened?
I relapsed, man.
Okay, you relapsed on meth and marijuana. Have you used other, what other drugs have you used, anything?
No, ma'am.
No other, just those two?
Yes, ma'am.
And how many times did you use methamphetamines while you were on supervision?
To be honest, about 5 or 6 times, ma'am.
5 or 6 times, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And marijuana also?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Okay, it says you self-admitted, which is good. It's better to own up to it. Why didn't you contact your parole officer? It looks like you were on Scott status for 157 days. That's a long time. So why didn't you contact your PO?
Because he told me that he was going to issue a warrant for me if I wasn't able to get into town. I didn't have a right to get all the way to Phoenix from Farnall. I had no vehicle at the time. And I had just recently got a vehicle about 100 days after I was counted. And I figured, well, you know, since I told the address, I mean, I was going to stay right there at the address, and if they wanted me, y'all would come get me right there. You know, it wasn't like I was leaving the state or nothing. So, I mean, I was just trying to enjoy the freedom while I was still out, ma'am.
Okay, understood. Yeah, distance can be a problem. Have you done any drug treatment? Have you thought about drug treatment?
No, ma'am, I haven't, to be honest with you.
Okay, all right. Because you could probably, more if you had some time to think about it, that could be an option for yourself, because it looks like continued drug use is going to keep getting you back right where you are, so that might be an option for you. Mr. Sanders has something to add. Hold on a second.
Yes, I'd like to also indicate in the follow-up, the parole officer did go out to the residence, left a letter, attempted several more contacts, and, you know, through our absconder reduction program, had contact been made, this problem could have been resolved. And, you know, I do see that this parole officer, and I do know that this parole officer goes out to that area frequently, that is his jurisdiction. And had that been arranged, that parole officer simply could have stopped by and made contact when he was there.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Sanders. So, you know, Mr. Ryan, I understand that distance is a problem, especially clear out to Tonopah. That is a problem. But you heard just what Mr. Sanders said, and I understand some letters were left. Parole officers, in our experience, parole officers really work with, they really want you to succeed, and they'll work with you. So,
the problem with the notes and everything is the property that I lived on, it was fenced off completely all the way around the house, and I lived back in the back in a shed, and I had never received any notes while I was living in that shed.
Okay.
And I would base touch with my parole officer to see if we could arrange something, you know.
Right.
But I never received any letters or anything like that, ma'am.
So the letters were probably sitting up on the house, you know, in the mailbox, and you didn't get
them. Right, I never received them, yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. No questions? All right. Mr. Hine, we're coming toward the conclusion of your hearing, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. If you do that without repeating things you've already told us, what else would you like the board to know?
That I wish I would have been able to complete my parole as I admitted to my rights to complete the program. I can say I would do better, and I think y'all should give me the opportunity to speak to y'all today.
Okay, all right, thank you, Mr. Hine. The board is going to go into discussion, and while we're in discussion, we just ask you to remain on the phone. We operate under the open meeting law, so all of our discussion is in public, and we haven't discussed your case before right now. So just remain on the phone, and we'll be back with you shortly.
Okay.
The board is now in discussion. I see Mr. Hine as an individual who seems like he has a very good work ethic, being a farmer, which is very hard work, very dedicated work, long hours. He does have one successful truth in sentencing completion of 6 months from the prior term. However, at this on this term. He has absconded for 157 days. And I understand that distance is a problem, but, you know, certainly from contact with the PO would have been a good thing. He does admit to having used methamphetamine and marijuana 5 or 6 times on his lawn supervision. And he also has not done any sort of drug treatment, and I'm not sure why of that, why that's true. But I'm not seeing him as a good candidate for community supervision right at this moment, but I'm open to any input from my fellow board members. Mr. Johnson.
I agree. He has less than a month left. Hopefully he can take some time and get himself together while he's in there and find a program, work with the CO3 to find a program so that he can do a drug rehab program. He'll be getting out on Christmas Eve, and maybe that'll be his gift. His gift will be to change his life around and become a productive citizen.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Dr. Wright?
I agree.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, then I'm going to make a motion based on points in warrant 2017W1633, our conversation with Mr. Heine, and information provided by Mr. Sanders of the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Heine was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by using methamphetamines and marijuana while on supervision, and absconding for 157 days, during which we had no idea what he was doing. And that is the motion.
Second.
Great.
Right. Thank you.
Well, 1 second, Mr. Okay. You heard the board's discussion, sir. We want you to be successful, and I think you should consider drug treatment. I know it's difficult because you have a difficult occupation, but if it's not something that's occurred to you before, I hope you think about it as a result of this, because that's certainly, it will give you some tools that you need to, you know, when you start getting the urge to use drugs, and it also gives you some hints for, you know, lifestyle and such that'll help you keep away from those. So we thank you so much for participating today. Wish you the very best, and hope to never see you again. Not that we don't like you, but hope that you are not, this is your last time in the criminal justice system.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So
thank you
so much. Would you give the phone to your CO3?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.